So the text is structured, as I say, be familiar if you know the Bodhicharya Tara. First of all, there's an exhortation to generate Bodhi resolve. So there's exhortation to do it, that's chapter one, and then there's actually generating it and how to do that. And then the next chapter goes on to the next thing that happens then in a bodhisattva's career, is that the bodhisattva takes a vow, having generated some degree of bodhi resolve, enough that he wouldn't fall back, then takes a vow to establish that fully. So he takes a vow, and so there's a chapter on the vow and its supporting practices. And then the rest of the text is, most of the rest of the text is accomplishing the vows, so you get chapters on each of the six perfections. So it's about establishing and accomplishing this vow by practicing the six perfections. After that, there are some other chapters. Perfection of wisdom. After perfection of wisdom, then there's a chapter called the Dharma Gateway of Accordance with Reality. I'll tell you a title because I'm not going to tell you what's in it. Then there's a chapter called Emptiness and Signlessness. It's when he goes, touches back into the necessity to remember that everything is empty, signless. And the last chapter is called On Merit and On Preserving the Dharma. And he finishes like that, On Merit and On Preserving the Dharma, and the importance of preserving the Dharma. There's some analogies in the first chapter. There's some analogies that I rather liked. He's just drawing out some analogies to try and communicate in a different kind of way what the accomplishment of the bodhisattva vow would be like. So he says it would be like when the great sea begins to form. It's analogous to when the great sea first gradually begins to arise into existence, and it becomes the whole. It holds all sorts of beings and priceless wishing pearls. All sorts of jewels are there within the great sea. In the same way, when Bodhisattva regenerates resolve, and it first gradually begins to come into existence, then it becomes the birthplace of all good dharmas, all meditation and wisdom produced by all beings. It's all contained within this great sea of bodhi resolve. So it's like the great sea. He says it's also like when the great universe forms. So great universe takes on and houses, gives space to all beings of all realms. So when the bodhisattva generates bodhi resolve, it's just the same as this. And it takes on the burden of all incalculably many beings and becomes for them that upon which they rely. So it's in that way it's like great universe. And the last analogy is bodhi resolve is comparable to empty space. For there is nothing which is not embraced by it. When the bodhisattva generates resolve, it's just the same. Of all beings, there are none who are not embraced by it. Just as the realms of beings are incalculably many, boundless and endless, so too with the bodhisattva's generation of resolve. It is incalculably vast, boundless and endless. So there's no end to beings, but still you generate bodhi resolve, which is able to extend to all of them, while knowing that none of them inherently exist. And at the end of this chapter, chapter one, there's a little summation where Vasubandhu says, if there's anyone who hears this sort of description, so the ones about it's like the sea and the universe and space. If there are bodhisattvas, if there are beings who hear this description and yet are not frightened by it, who are not struck with terror by it, and who are not caused to retreat and sink away from it, then realize that those persons are definitely able to generate Bodhi resolve. So if you haven't felt an inclination to retreat, sink away, and are not terrified by everything I've just said, you're in with a chance. We're all there with a chance.